At 7 on the Hill, Aaron Kick here with you in the studio this morning, joined by Victor Lewis to catch us up on what's trending out there in the world. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm pretty good. I know that not everybody, and especially listeners of This Morning with Aaron Kick, are not as terminally online as I am. So I'm going to tell you that there's a tweet that I enjoy a great deal, that the gist of which is, how am I supposed to buy a house when they're $1.2 million where I live and my parents bought their house in 1972 for $5 and a pocketful of blueberries?
Right.
Like, yeah, that is a genre of tweet that I greatly enjoy.
It's a common feeling that a lot
exactly.
of us have, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the value of things, specifically the value of artwork, specifically the value of artwork by Maud Lewis, a painter who sold her paintings on roadsides in Nova Scotia in the 70s. And how the headline that I read on The Guardian today that is trending on Twitter is similar to those tweets, because a painting that was traded for a grilled cheese sandwich in 1973 on that roadside sold at auction for about $350,000 Canadian dollars.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool.
On the other hand, that was a hell of a grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
Have you heard about that there was Gouda, there was provolone?
It was a classic five cheese grill.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And like the spicy mustard, but just enough, you know, not enough to be overpowering. And
but,
a really ripe heirloom tomato.
Well, now it's not a grilled cheese. Now it's a melt. That's a whole other thing. But either way,
It was a whole other thing.
I'm adding this to the list of movies that I would like to watch, because a movie was made in 2016 about Maud Lewis. It's called Maudie, and that's why her paintings have taken off in value, because this sort of biopic, half documentary, half dramatization, sort of tells about her life being a Canadian folk artist, and it looks really cool, and
right.
it's something that I want to check out. So that's just a fun thing that I ran across today. I feel like that's a little bit more highbrow than the peeing Johnny Cash we've discussed in the past here on Trends.
Although peeing Johnny Cash is, you know, it's highbrow in its own way. I want to know, and there are people out there who are art collectors. We actually have, Brad and I have a really good relationship with the folks at the Frank Art Gallery just down the hallway from us at University Place, and there's a lot of great artwork that's available from great local artists, and some of it is for sale for a decent amount of money, but not $300,000 amount of money. And I always come back to, who would pay that much money for one piece of art when there are so many other things that one could do with that money? Even if you were just being in it for yourself and wanting to buy things for yourself and not, you know, do altruistic, donate to the Lineberger Center or things like that with the money. Like, there are still a lot of other things that you could do for yourself with that money, like sail around the world for a year.
Yeah, you could do a whole lot of things with that amount of money. I think that the art market is like mostly speculation, but of course you have like some eccentric types who have a desire to own something.
Right.
Which I can understand that dragon sickness, to be perfectly honest. There are lots of things that I look at and I feel a very human, like, hunter-gatherer urge. I must possess this.
Yeah, I've got friends like that. Like, they go out and buy those little, like, Funko boxes with the little figurines
in it. You have Funko friends?
I have Funko friends, of course.
That's crazy.
I'm a nerd of a certain age, but they cost $10. Like, it's not $300,000.
Yeah, no, it is not $300,000. Well,
I don't get this at all.
Your room of Funko Pops, and then that
yeah.
can quickly become hundreds of thousands.
You can add
of dollars
they
to
can
the
add
right
up,
buyer.
To
like
the right
things.
Buyer. Yeah. What else is going on?
Okay, so I also have a moth. I kind of wanted to talk about this moth. It's probably the shortest trend story that I had remaining. There's a certain type of moth. I couldn't find the actual proper name of it. It's in the
ooh.
Family Pyrrhalidae. I'm probably messing that up. If there's any... Ooh, which one is bug scientist? Entomologist?
Entomologist,
yeah,
I think.
If there's
yeah.
any entomologist, please help me talk about this moth a little bit.
Pyrrhalidae says pyre, which suggests firefly of some kind to
so
me.
So it's just a big old moth, and it's identified by these bristles and stuff. It hasn't been seen since 1912. Which, because it was 1912, all we really have is a description in the Smithsonian and records from entomologists from those times. So this moth fits the description of a moth that we haven't seen since 1912. And where was this moth, Aaron? In a Detroit airport.
Yep.
Is where this moth was, you know, just hanging out, doing moth stuff over in Detroit.
In a Detroit airport, not the Detroit airport.
I mean,
it's one of these like executive, like hyperjet, Horace Williams airport kind of airports where we discovered this moth.
You have no idea how desperately I'm trying to find which Detroit airport.
Because there's
the
one
Detroit Metropolitan Airport. I assume that's the
okay,
Detroit
that's the
airport.
Detroit airport. Yeah.
Well, this Wayne moth County. Was on its way from the Philippines, so he is a world traveler. Rest assured.